Hey everybody, welcome to this bonus episode, which is also featured on our YouTube channel, recently rebranded as the Disciple Makers YouTube channel. So be sure to check out the video if you'd like the visual, and if not, enjoy this audio version. God bless. Hey family, welcome back to Discipleship Vlogs. Today I'm talking to you about blessing prayer, and we're going to go through a lot of scriptural examples and talk about what it looks like today to bless someone and pray with someone. And in a short definition, blessing prayer is almost intercession in reverse, where rather than praying for someone for a prayer to come true, you're praying for that person as if the prayer has already come true, and you're declaring God's promises upon them. You're calling down the rule and presence of God in Jesus's name. And this is so empowering because when you call down blessings upon other people, you're aligning yourself with the creative energies, with the potential promises of God. God blesses people, but we'll also see in scripture that he authorizes others like priests and fathers to be a blessing to others. And you are blessed to be a blessing as well, aligning yourself with God's promises. Abraham, Joseph, Jacob, other fathers and parents throughout the Bible bless their children. You've seen the word come up. They vocalize the blessings in person, in proximity. And in a similar way, God gives us a significant responsibility to vocalize and give definition to his promises through blessing for our family, for our friends, and even for entire cities. Again, think intercession in reverse. Rather than praying and making a request, you're declaring the answer in faith. Rather than saying, God, please bring peace, you're declaring, God, your peace be upon this person in Jesus' name. So I hope the rest of this video will help you give definition to God's promises, to his will being done, and his kingdom coming in power, in peace, and joy of his Holy Spirit. All right, let's get into scripture examples. And let's start in the beginning with Genesis 12, where we learn that you are blessed to be a blessing. This is God's covenant with Abraham for him to bless. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, which tells us you might have to go somewhere to bless others as well. Verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And even beyond Abraham, God consecrated priests to be blessing to other people. In Deuteronomy 10:8, stand before the Lord to serve him and to bless in his name until this day. In Numbers 6:23-27, it says, thus you, the priests, shall bless the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Now even here, while Abraham or God's priests pronounced God's goodness upon people, it's God-given authority. It's God-given blessing. It's God who brings the blessing, not the individual. It's God himself who bestows the substance of the blessing. In King Hezekiah's day, in 2 Chronicles 30:27, it says, then the Levitical priests arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. God heard their blessings, he heard their prayers, and that's where the blessing really came from. But also it said in that passage that their blessing was heard, both by God and the people, and the biblical record suggests that you can't really pass blessing on to another person without them hearing that blessing or being present. So yes, you can pray for someone from a distance, but I encourage to be in proximity for them to hear the actual blessing. You see it in Genesis 2:19, where God brought creatures close to Adam for their naming, which is a form of blessing, and it's an incredible creative authority given to Adam to name and bless others. You see that Isaac blessed his sons by physically touching them. Jacob did the same in Genesis 27:49. You see that Jesus himself prayed for people directly, and he often prayed for people who approached him in Luke 5:12-15, or Luke 7:2-10, Luke 17:12-19. And at times, Jesus initiated conversations that then turned into praying for or with that person. In Luke 7:11-15, in Luke 13:12-13. Jesus was an intimate blesser. blessing people who were around him. And I think the two best examples of this are when he blesses the children who come unto him, and when he departs from his disciples and bestows a blessing upon them. In Mark 10:16, it says, he began blessing them, laying his hands upon them. In Luke 24:50, it says, he lifted up his hands and blessed his followers. I want to share two more passages to tell you about the great power and great urgency that comes with blessing. The first is a proverb, and then from the book of James. In Proverbs 11:11, it portrays the struggle for cities as a war of powerful words. It says, by the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. By the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. God desires a continual stream of blessing by righteous people, giving voice to what he longs to do. So how is your family, your prayers, how is your city doing if its blessing depends upon you? You see, there's a power and an urgency in it. And remember, God is the most important listener. While those your blessing should hear it, crank up the volume of your blessing so that God can hear it. And as far as others hearing your blessing, never underestimate your ability to encourage another person and love them by praying a blessing for them. So over in the book of James, chapter 5, 16 through 17, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So guys, there are no magic words or a magic wand, and Elijah didn't have any magical powers. Nobody in the Bible did. Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, Adam, the Levitical priests, everyone we just talked about, they didn't have magical powers because they lived in biblical times. They had prayer. They were righteous men, and we can be righteous and pray today as well. Righteous and fervent prayers are powerful and effective, but don't seek this prayer just for the power. That's an unhealthy motivation. And in the book of Acts, there's the seven sons of Sceva who try to use Jesus' name as a magic wand or as a talisman of authority. And they get beat up because they don't know the spiritual forces they're trifling with. In the same way, don't seek the power, but come close to the one who is powerful. Fervently come close to Christ. So practically, what does it look like? Well, think about every category of life that you could bless for another person. So beginning thinking about the person, you could think through a bless acrostic of body, labor, emotional, social, and spiritual, or a person's health, protection, and strength, or declaring their work, their security, their provision, their joy, peace, hope, their marriage and dating life, their family, their friends, or spiritually for their salvation, for their faith, for their grace. You can bless a person in all of those areas. Or rather than starting with the person's life and thinking through all those categories, start with scripture and just think of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, peace, patience, kindness. Bless a person with that the Spirit can be active in their life. Think of it like planting a seed for the Spirit to work. And through your prayer, you're watering it and nurturing it. So where there's immorality, pray a blessing of faithfulness and self-control. Where there is strife, pray for kindness and gentleness. Where there is depression or drunkenness, pray for joy and peace in their life. Now, of course, you can bless friends and family, but it can also work very evangelistically that God does want us to be a blessing to others, and it's a great way to get into spiritual conversations. So when I prayer walk, I simply go around my neighborhood and say, hey, I'm praying around my neighborhood to be a blessing. Do you know of any needs that I can pray for? I just pray for God's blessings upon this neighborhood. Do you have any general needs, personal needs that I can be praying for that God could bless? You might ask them, hey, if God could do one miracle in your life, what would it be? That gets into a deep spiritual conversation. At the same time, don't feel any pressure to turn your prayer life into an evangelistic event or a counseling session for another person unless the Holy Spirit is actually prompting that. And I find that the more you pray, the more you find that you're not sidelining prayer for evangelism or sidelining evangelism for prayer. They'll naturally just be integrated together. And if you have a prayerful life, I think the Holy Spirit will naturally lead you to other persons if you're listening to the Spirit's voice, to the point where you don't have to sideline your prayer life to reach out to someone and bless them. So don't stress. Times of interaction will follow a prayerful life, and you will either plant seeds or you will learn to discover God's timing to have interactions as you pray. Don't worry about having a 30-second testimony pitch or a gospel presentation or all those evangelistic techniques. Just focus on drawing close to God in prayer and blessing others. Because as God answers prayer in people's lives, you'll find abundant opportunities to share the gospel with them. Again, think of Jesus. He went and found solitude and recharged in his prayer life, and then he went to heal and bless others. Both were present. Thanks for watching this video, guys. If this video blessed you, please subscribe to the channel, give this video a like so that it can be a blessing to others. And if you'd like to learn more about prayer walking or authoritative prayer or other prayer tools, check out the links in the description. God bless.